Proverbs chapter 28. I appreciate our visitors being with us today. I mean, it's an honor to have you. You're not intruding. You're not trespassing. It's a blessing to have you today. And we're just thankful that you've chosen RBT to come and be a place that you worship the Lord. And trust the Lord will help us this morning as we look into the Word of God. In Proverbs 28, if you've got your place, say amen. Proverbs chapter number 28, verse number 4 is the verse we want to read. If you were here last Sunday, we were in this verse of Scripture, both services. And it just kept digging around and kept getting deeper and wider and deeper and wider. And some of you were here Sunday morning, and I guess you got about more than you can handle and missed Sunday night. Well, you need to get the tape. You need to get the CD of Sunday night. The Lord just put the icing on the cake, and maybe the Lord will serve the cake today. Amen. But in Proverbs 28, in verse number 4, the Bible says, "They that forsake the law praise the wicked, but such as keep the law contend with them." Now notice that. We'll read that again after we pray and then bring our message or continue the message on praising the wicked. Praising the wicked. Father, we come in Jesus' name this morning to the throne of grace. And Lord, we come, God, realizing that we're in, Lord, we're inefficient for this task at hand. Lord, but you are sufficient for this task. Preaching is a spiritual task and requires spiritual power, spiritual enablement. Lord, we pray that you'll help us with our thoughts this morning. Make it easy for us to know the mind of God. Help us to have the utterance of the Spirit. Lord, help us to say nothing more, nothing less than that, God, which you would design and desire. I pray, dear Lord, that you will so focus our heart that, dear Lord, we will not see, Lord, the people, that we will be in our own spiritual zone, and that God will preach what you want without fear of man and without favor of men. Dear Lord, that we'll not on purpose throw anything or say anything or preach anything this morning with any selfish motives, but dear Lord, that we'll desire to honor you and declare your word. And Father, we pray you'll help us to have ears to hear. Lord, the Scripture said, "He that hath ears to hear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches." So we pray this morning that it'll not be my voice that'll be heard, but it'll be the Spirit of God that'll speak to men, women, boys, and girls. Lord, there's people in our midst that are lost without God by their own profession, by their own testimony, they're lost. And I pray you'd deal with them. And then, Lord, no doubt, Father, there's people, folk in the midst, dear Lord, that claim to be saved, dear Father, but there's very little fruit to evidence, Lord, in their life. Use us this morning for your glory. We love you and thank you for loving us first. If you hadn't have made the first move and took the initiative, God, we'd have never been saved. And I pray now for that special power, God, that'll put the punch in preaching. Lord, I pray that when we come to the close of this service, God, that we will be dealt with of the Lord in a special way. And God, what you do, we'll be careful, Lord, to give you the glory and the honor. For we ask it in Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Proverbs chapter 28 and verse number 4, once again, the Bible says, "They that forsake the law praise the wicked, but such as keep the law contend with them." Now, the book of Proverbs, as we've stated even last Sunday, is a book that you need to, and I, all of us, would do well to acquaint ourselves with. It is a library for life. In this 31 chapters, there's pretty much, if not every aspect of life dealt with. I mean, we're told what not to do. We're reproved and rebuked through the book. We're also instructed through the book on how to live a godly Christian life on the way to heaven. But as we come to verse chapter 28 and verse number 4, I was reading this, and even back in youth camp is when the Lord began to really speak to my heart about this statement that's made in verse 4, where it said, "They that forsake the law praise the wicked." And I thought about praising the wicked. What a thought. What a contradictory thought. I mean, if anybody on planet Earth does not deserve any kind of praise or any kind of commendation, it would be the wicked. They don't deserve that. Their lifestyle, the wicked, they're called the wicked because of wickedness. Amen. You are known by how you live. They were called by their character, their conduct. Give them their title. They're called wicked because they live wickedly and make wicked choices. But yet here, the Bible says that there is a people that can get in a condition that they will praise the wicked. I mean, listen, we pointed out last week just by way of just brief review that we're living in a country that does that. If you're a Christian, you're not praised, you're persecuted. But the more weird you are, the more off and left field you are, the more out of the Bible you are, the more away from God you are, the more attention you get, the more backing you get, the more praise you get. So we're in a country that's that way. We are in a country that's that way. Amen? I mean, there's laws and legislation being made all the time that will favor wickedness, that will favor the ungodly. And at the same time, laws are being made to restrict the voice of Christianity and the preaching of Christianity. I mean, the very thing I preached last Sunday, there will be a time in America that I'll go to jail for that. I'll go to jail for stuff like that. Amen. There will be persecution that will come on the house of God, my friend, because of righteousness. We are in an unrighteous world. Amen. That's being governed by what the Bible calls the God of this world, little G-O-D, and He's the God of unrighteousness. Amen. He's the prince and power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. If you're parents and you raise your children for God, you're a weirdo. But if you're a parent, my friend, that allows your children to smoke dope, amen, and fornicate and everything else and have view pornography, why, you're all right, amen. I want to tell you, we're warped and we need to get back to the Bible and find out what the standard is for what is right and for what is wrong. Amen. That's the truth. Amen. Now, I'm not afraid to preach it. Are you afraid to be identified with it? I know it's not liked. I know it's not loved. I know that it will be persecuted. Amen. I know that. I know that. I realize that. But I'm not afraid to preach it this morning. I'm not afraid to preach it. Are you afraid to practice it? It's one thing for something to be preached. It's another for something to be practiced. Amen. Someone asked me recently, said, "Preacher," or they didn't ask, they made a statement. They said, "Preacher, I can't believe that there's been so many people that have sat under your preaching for as long as they have and still are having problems and trouble with separation." I said, "There's one reason for that. They don't believe what is preached." Amen. They think that's my opinion. They think that I'm just giving, you know, my preference instead of giving out the Word of God. And this verse right here is very plain on the subject. It's all through the Scripture. But I'm going to preach it anyhow. Amen. You'll have to stand before God what you do with it. But the Bible says here, "They that forsake the law praise the wicked." So that's what I'm preaching about, praising the wicked. Now I want to say in this verse of Scripture quickly that there are two sides in this verse revealed. They that forsake the law praise the wicked, but they that keep the law contend with them. So your relationship to the wicked, whether you are praising them or whether you are contending with them, is based on one thing: your relationship to the law or God's Word. So on one hand, you have the Word of God, or the God of the Word. And then on the other hand, you have the wicked. Amen. And there's no neutral ground. There's no third party. It's either God or wickedness. Amen. Which classification are you in this morning? Which one are you following? Which one are you praising? I guess would be the text question of our verse. Which one are you praising? You praising the wicked or you contending with the wicked? I believe you're doing one or the other to one or the other. If you're praising the wicked, you're contending with God. If you're praising God, you're contending with the wicked. Amen. So all I have to see in your relationship to God is just see how good you get along with the wicked. Amen. Brother Silas laid it out good and straight, good and strong this morning, and good and scriptural in opening Sunday school out of Psalms 1 and verse 1. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. Amen. God said that man that does not live like sinners, that person is blessed. That person is happy, amen. But there's two options here. You have you're either going to be the one that is wicked, amen, or you're going to be that crowd that's on the other side, either contending with you or praising you. But I'm interested this morning what the Bible says in this verse of Scripture. The first thing we noticed last Sunday, I can't remember if it was Sunday morning, I believe it was Sunday night. But the first thing that I see in this verse of Scripture, how many's got your Bible open? How many's paying attention? Say amen. Amen. You got to stay focused. If you're not careful, your mind will be out there on the chicken here in a little bit. Amen. Your mind will be somewhere else. Amen. And I believe God's got something to say to us, and we need to listen. All right? The first thing that I notice in this verse in praising the wicked, and we'll just bump this and go on because I've already preached on it, is that number one, before there can be praise of the wicked, number one, there's got to be a parting. Or as we pointed out last week, that is a prerequisite. There's got to be a parting. What do you mean a parting? There's got to be a forsaking of the law. There's got to be a parting of yourself from God's Word. I want to tell you, friend, your relationship to this book is the point of attack. Can I say that again for the rest that wasn't listening? The point of attack, the crosshairs of the enemy's guns are pointed at the place where your life meets God's law and its relationship to you. Because the devil knows that until he can put division and a parting between you and God's Word, he knows that he don't have a chance. Because sin will keep you from the book, and the book will keep you from sin. Amen. David was asked a question, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his ways? And the Bible says, by taking heed thereunto according to thy word. Amen. And went on to say in Psalms 119, I believe verse 11, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against God. So how's your relationship to this book this morning? You say, I don't never read it, but I love God. No. How can you love the God of the Word without loving the Word of God? Amen. Your relationship, this book, is your relationship to God. Amen. How you treat it, it's how you treat God. May God put conviction on all of us, because we all could improve. I've noticed every time, listen, can I testify? Every time in my 29 years of being saved, that spiritual decline come in my life, that spiritual deadness come in my life, that spiritual dryness come in my life, I'm going to tell you, friend, it was my fault. And I could trace it back to where I got slack with the Word of God. Amen? No, I didn't want to admit that. I didn't want to admit that, Brother Ivan. No, I wanted to blame her and him and them and those. I wanted to blame everybody and somebody, anybody. I didn't want to look in the mirror and say, hey, it's you, big boy. You ain't been reading the Word of God. You've not been allowing the Word of God to read you. I make the statement again. Every time it has been a breakdown in my relationship to the Word of God. And let me help you with something right here. If you consistently do not have a diet for God's Word, you are not saved. You say, preacher, that's an awful bold statement. Do you want me to prove it from the Scripture? How about 1 Peter 1:23, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of the incorruptible, by the Word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. You know what that verse says? You can't get saved without this book. This book was the divine instrument of God in the hands of the Holy Ghost that put you under conviction. There can't be a physical birth without a conception of a seed. There cannot be a spiritual birth without the conception of the incorruptible seed of the Word of God. I know my flesh can never produce salvation because it was produced by corruptible seed. Amen. In the process of procreation, that seed conceived was corruptible seed. Amen. That's why flesh can never produce salvation. You can never live good enough. You can never do good enough. You can never be good enough to evolve into salvation. Why? Because the flesh started with corruptible seed. It'll always be corrupt. It is not saved now, nor will it be. It's headed back to the dust from which it came. So when salvation comes into a person's life, it's when the sweet Holy Ghost takes the preaching of the Word of God and pricks your heart, and through a divine implantation of the Spirit of God, He puts the seed, the incorruptible seed of the Word of God in you. Amen. And then you go right from chapter 1, verse 23, go right to chapter 2, verse 1, and it talks about God makes a change in your life. And then verse number 2, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the Word, that you may grow thereby. You know what God's saying right there? A sure, definite sign of life is that you've got an appetite. Amen. But that's not the message. But I'm telling you, before there can ever be the praise of the wicked, there's got to be a parting. There's got to be a division between you and God's Word. Now listen, friend, listen. I'm going to try to get done this morning, but I want to tell you something. We are in a day, friend, when the Word of God, listen to this statement now. This is not just a blanketed statement. We're living in a day when the Word of God is not being preached, even in churches. We've got psychology talks. We've got little lessons being given on how to become a better you and all this stuff. And I'm telling you, preachers, quit preaching a long time ago. And as a result, we've got a generation on the scene today that have no relationship with God's Word. They don't never read it. They don't live by it. They don't want to hear it preached. Amen. That's right. Amen, that's right. Amen. That's right. Preachers don't even look like preachers anymore. Amen. I've seen them and you've seen them. If you've watched any religious television at all, they'll stand up on the platform with flip-flops on and it looks like they're going golfing or just got back from fishing, and they're standing up there handling the Word of God as an ambassador and a representative of God. I don't believe that ought to be. Amen. You say, well, preacher, you're going to have to dress down to get this generation. Well, then you can forget it. The end does not justify the means. That's that emerging church, Brother Mark. Do whatever you have to do to get them. No, friend, I tell you what'll work. Fall head over heels in love with Jesus. Lift Him up, and there will be a magnetism about that. If I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. I want to tell you, you don't have to sugarcoat the gospel. You don't have to put attachments to the gospel. You don't have to, my friend, listen, amen, that's right. All you have to do to the gospel is preach it in power and listen to it in power, put it into practice, and there'll be enough power in this church, my friend, to convert many people to God. I say glory, hallelujah. I feel a little preach coming on, amen. Praising the wicked. There's got to be a parting. Amen. The wicked won't want you around if you got God's word with you. Remember me making that statement last week? The wicked don't mind you coming around, but just don't be bringing that law business. Just leave the Bible at the house. We don't even want it in your hand. We don't even want it in your heart. We don't want it in your head. Just leave the Bible and then we'll get along. And how many in church are doing that? Fit like a glove with the heathen. Fit like a glove with the wicked in action, attitude, and looks. Amen. And then wonder why in the world you can't get happy at the house of God. Amen. I wish I had a video camera right up here seeing what I'm seeing. Amen. But I'm not looking. I'm going to draw the wall right here and I'm going to preach. Amen. And just let the chips fall where they will. Amen. There's got to be a parting. That word forsake means to leave. They that forsake the law, it means to leave or to let alone or to depart from or to neglect, let go. What's this? Leave behind. Now watch this right here. There's got to be a parting. This crowd that's praising the wicked at one time held true God's word. Because you can't forsake what you've never had. Isn't that the concept? Isn't that the mind behind what Jude encourages in Jude verse 3? He started to write about the common salvation, but then he felt that it was necessary to write to us that we would earnestly contend for the faith. Listen, which was once delivered unto the saints. You know what that meant? Jude said, we had the body of revealed truth given to us. Once, if we lose it, it's gone. And we're to earnestly contend for it. This crowd in Proverbs 28:4 is a crowd that once had the Word of God, lived the Word of God, held true to it, testified about it, lived by it, but they forsook it. They had to be a parting. They let it go. They departed from it. And as a result of that, they started praising the wicked. All right, let's move on. Let's move on. Y'all ready? Number two, not only must there be a parting, but number two, there must be a partnering. Before there can be the praise of the wicked, you can't just leave the law. You will join yourself to them. It's not that if you forsake the law and it leaves an empty spot. No, that spot will be filled by an alternative. You say, preacher, give us a text, all right? Genesis 2 and verse 24. The same identical word that is used in Proverbs 28:4 is the word forsake. It's the word used in Genesis 2:24. Therefore shall a man leave his father and mother and cleave unto his wife. In other words, right, and by the way, that's the first mention of our word, forsake here in verse 4. First mention, first time it's used in the Bible. See how it's used, and it'll carry that meaning throughout the scripture. And the first time you look at the word forsake, or the word that is translated leave, comes from the same Hebrew word. Listen, it means to leave. But in that same context of Genesis 2:24, it's not just a leaving that takes place, but there's also a cleaving that takes place. We covered some of that Sunday night. Preached on that last Sunday night. But there's got to be a parting. Some of you better get serious about your relationship to God's Word. You say, but preacher, I'm still in church. I don't read it, but I'm still in church. Well, that won't happen. That won't last long. The devil can put a wedge between you and the Bible. It'll be easy for him to get you out of your prayer closet. It'll be easy for him to get you to where you don't never witness. It'll be easy for him to get to the place where you don't want to go to church. It'll be easy for him to get you to the place, my friend, where you have no interest in living for God. If he can put a wedge between you and the Word of God. Amen. I know that's simple, but it's very foundational. Very foundational. There's got to be a parting, and then when that parting takes place, The devil's over under the apple tree saying, yes, I've got them. Because he can work anything in your heart when he gets the Bible out of your hand. When he gets that shield, the Word of God, away from you, that sword of the Spirit out of your hand, he's not afraid of you. But Ephesians 6 calls the Bible the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Amen. Devil couldn't do nothing with Jesus in Matthew 4 in the temptation in the wilderness, not because he was God manifest in the flesh, not because he was deity in the flesh, no. Not one time did Jesus step out of his deity, my friend, or step out of humanity into his deity, my friend, to deal with the devil in the temptation in the wilderness. He remained as a human being through the whole temptation and came out victorious. How? It is written. If he had turned the stones to bread, Brother Brooks, he would have had to have stepped out of his humanity, because a human being can't do that. He would have had to have stepped into his deity, him being God, and done that. But he wanted to set the pattern for you and for me that you can have victory over the devil, amen, as a human being with the power of the Word of God. Hallelujah, Jesus. So there's got to be a parting. Then there's got to be a partnering. There will be. Before you ever praise them, you've got to be a partner with them. Amen, Jesus. That's right. You've got to be a partner with them. Those that do wrong praises others that do wrong. Birds of a feather flock together. Sin loves company. Amen. You'll hang around with people that are most like you. Amen. Amen. That's exactly right. You run with the cussers, I guarantee you, I may never hear it, but I guarantee you, you do it. Amen. You run with the drinking crowd, I may never see it. Your parents may never see it. Your wife, husband may never see it, but I guarantee you, you do it. That's it. Amen. Just do like this right here. Just swallow that real good. It'll go down. That's a big pill, but it'll go down. Amen. I didn't write the Bible. God did. He's the one that said, they that forsake the law, praise the wicked. You leave one, you'll cleave to the other. Amen. A departing from one leads to a devotion to another. To forsake one produces a following or a faithfulness to the other. Forsake the law, you'll become faithful to the wicked. You'll be numbered with them. Amen. I want to ask you something. Why would anybody that knows Jesus want to partner with the wicked? I'm telling you, I'm preaching still in the house. Why would anybody that names the name of Christ want to partner with the wicked? I tell you what we ought to all do. Look at your life and see how many wicked ways there are. What do you mean wicked ways? Ways that the wicked do. That's a big subject. But see if there's any of that in you. You said, preacher, can it get in us? Oh, yeah. And guess what? Before we ever see a move of God, it's going to have to get out of us. 2 Chronicles 7:14, if my people, not the heathen, not the wicked, but if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face, and come on, here it comes, got your ears on, and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, will forgive their sin, and will heal their land. Amen, that's right. There will be a partnering. You're not just parting from the Scripture, parting from the Word of God, having nothing to do with that, my friend, and it leaves just an empty spot in your life. No, it will be filled with wicked people and wicked practices, and you'll praise them. And I'm going to tell you how in a little bit. So not only is there a parting, and then there's a partnering, but number three, there's a passion. There's a passion involved in praising the wicked. Are y'all ready? There's a passion involved in praising the wicked. The word praise, here we go. Just tighten your seatbelt up another notch. The word praise means to shine. You ready? To shine on and to shine for. Praising the wicked is that you live a life that shines for them and shines on them. And don't you think it's a little strange the Lord uses the same word praise in this verse that is used many times in praising the Lord? Instead of you living your life to shine on God and for God, your life is now, when you get away from the Word of God, your life now, it starts to shine for and to shine on the wicked. That's how you praise them. You may not do it verbally. Stand up. Well, I'm going to show that that's even going on. But by how you live, you shine on and shine for. Now watch this. Here's another definition. It means to make a boast. It means to make a show or to be commended. Be worthy of praise, made praiseworthy, to celebrate. When you brag about wicked people, you're praising them. If you're bragging about a song they write and sing, you're praising them. Amen. Amen. You boast and brag about a movie they make that's full of wickedness and sin. You are praising them. Are you listening? And I'm going to deal with this. I'm going to go a little more detail later on. I've been doing some studying on a lot of these hand signals that a lot of our young people are doing. Y'all don't have a clue what you're doing when you're holding up them certain fingers and certain signs. I'm fixing to lower the boom on that. Amen. I guarantee you don't have a clue what is behind it. But it's hatched out of the bowels of hell. Amen. And we're not only going to do that, we're going to show you some of the symbols too that young people are wearing in jewelry. Even some of it right here in RBT. That is wicked. And we're going to, if I can do it, I'm going to put it right up there and let you see it. But that won't be this morning. And we're not having service tonight. Praise means to boast. Brag. Let me just go on. We might as well just dig it out while we're right here. Listen to this. We believe in studying the Bible with first mention. That's a good way of studying the Bible, Brother Mark, is first mention. Go back and find where the Word of God mentions that Hebrew word in the Old Testament or that Greek word in the New Testament first time that it's mentioned. Look how it's used right there, because it'll carry that same way throughout its usage through that either the Old Testament or New Testament. All right? I thought you was interested in that. The first mention of the word praise is in Genesis 12 and verse 15. I want you to turn there. Turn there. I know you're going to have to move to get your Bible, but praise God. Genesis 12 and verse 15. I'm not going to preach all day. Genesis 12, 15. First mention of the word praise. The Bible talks about praise of the wicked. But I want to know what it's talking about. I want to know what it deals with. Mercy, Lord, help us, Jesus. I don't know that I'll get beyond this point, but I want to get it. Chapter 12, verse 15. Are you there? Chapter 12, verse 15. The princes also of Pharaoh saw her. Who? Sarah. Abraham and Sarah had come to Egypt. You remember? And Abraham said to Sarah, "Don't tell them you're my wife, or they'll kill me. Tell them you are my sister." You remember that? They were in the wrong place. For the wrong reason, had the wrong idea, wrong motive, covering up. If you have to cover it, hey, come on, we're still here. If you have to cover it up, it ain't right. If you have to hide it, it ought not to be so in your life. Amen. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Sin loves secrecy. If you have to hide it and conceal it and fabricate a lie to cover it up, amen, or to protect your hide, then you're living in sin. Something's wrong. Now let's pick up the story. The princess also of Pharaoh saw her and commended her before Pharaoh. And the woman was taken into Pharaoh's house. What word in that verse is our word praise in Proverbs 28:4? Say it. Commended. Sarah didn't come up talking about how good she looked. Sarah wasn't bragging on herself. Sarah wasn't bragging, look at me. No, it was being done for her. The princess of Pharaoh saw her, and when they saw her, they began to praise her. They began to commend her. They began to make a boast of her. They began, my friend, to shine for her. Watch this. Everything Pharaoh thought about her came from those that praised her. Now put that same thought over into our text. They that forsake the law praise the wicked. They're not praising themselves. Some of them are not. They don't have to. There's a lot of church folk doing it. They depend on their followers to praise them. They depend on people that goes and sees their movies to praise them and buy their CDs to praise them and their DVDs to praise them and their magazines to praise them. Hey, go pay a big concert ticket and listen to them sing. Amen. All you're doing is praising the wicked. Amen. Now watch this. They bragged and praised her. What do you think they was bragging about? What do you think they was praising? Her looks. Why, preacher, it don't matter how you look. Is that right? If that's not, amen, come on. You know, I've had people tell me that. Well, I'm tired of hearing this about how we're supposed to look. Have you thought about looking in the Bible to see if it deals with anything about how you're supposed to look? Oh, preacher, it's the heart that matters. Is that right? It matters to God. God looks on the heart, but your neighbor can't see your heart. Your husband, wife, your parents, your children can't see your heart. Your work associates can't see your heart, so they look on the outward appearance to get their idea of what's going on the inside. Amen. That's right. They were praising her looks. They were commending to Pharaoh and bragging about her physically, how she looked. You said, preacher, how does people praise the wicked? By doing that with that dressing and conducting themselves in that same manner. Giving somebody something to talk about. Well, I like dressing this way, preacher, because it's comfortable. Is that right? I guarantee you that's not the motive. When someone dresses very skimpy and very tight dressed, it's very suggestive. I want to tell you it's not because of comfort. It's because you're wanting somebody to praise you. Hello, Tokyo. You're wanting somebody to look. You're wanting somebody to look. You're wanting somebody to look. Hey man, you said preacher preaching like this went out long time ago. No, it hasn't. There's still one or two who are scattered around that are still loving God more than men and willing to preach the Word of God. Amen. Amen. That's right. Study your Bible. Study your Bible. See if it doesn't talk about modest apparel. See if it doesn't. Seeth my friend the wicked woman in Proverbs chapter 6 is not identified by her attire. Well, I don't know about all this clothing stuff. People are identified by their office and their practice by the way they dress. Brother Klepper, when you was a law officer, did you not dress accordingly? Brother Tyler, when you was in Iraq, did you not dress as an American soldier? All looks don't matter, is that right? Tell our government. Tell our government to send all of our soldiers to the foreign fields to serve and let them dress as civilians. Oh yeah, we can talk about it. Hey, I can talk about it till the sun goes down this evening. Are you listening? So I don't like it. I can't help that. Modest apparel, three basic definition for modesty, is long, loose, and flowing. Long, loose, and flowing. Now what does that do to the wardrobe, amen? Are you listening? When you wear the wicked's clothing, you are praising them. Some of you wearing clothes, listen, come on, I know some of you's mad, it don't matter. But listen, some of you wearing clothes that's got names on it and titles on it, you might ought to do some research over who that bunch is. You might be advertising for a bunch of homos and lesbians. You might be wearing the clothing that advertises for as much a God-hating, trend-setting, clothes-making bunch out in California, amen. You say, but it's popular in school. I don't care if it is popular. You need to find out who you're advertising for. Amen. Yeah, come on. Nod your head like that right there. That's right. You better find out who you're at, but it's popular. All the kids are wearing it. It don't make no difference. You better find out who's behind it. That's right. I could name some names right there of some clothes, amen, that you ought to really do some research on and find out what a God-hating bunch they are. And you're wearing their clothes, paying, I mean, ridiculous prices for them. When all they do is get just regular clothes at some other little store sales and put their name on it and jack the price up about 500%. And you go over there and buy it and wear it because, oh, look at me, I'm fitting in. No, you're advertising. Well, amen. Y'all just let me know if you don't like preaching like this. Because I am never going to change. Amen. Preachers have quit preaching on modesty. We've quit preaching on it. And now we've got churches, my friend, that are full of people that are praising the wicked. How? By dressing the way they dress, listening to the same identical music. Come on now, Brother Scott is in the house. Brother Scott, listen to me. I'm coming back here because I want to know that I've got a witness of what I'm about to say. Was we not within eyesight of a church yesterday and heard them in the parking lot with drums and a big stage set up and singing, I love that old time rock and roll? Was it, brother? I said, listen to that, Brother Scott. Do you think our choir at RBT will ever sing that mess? And they had a big crowd there in that church parking lot. Listen to that garbage. I listened to that stuff, my friend, when I used to go to the honky-tonks and the dance hall and drink, amen, and cuss and go on. Amen. I feel my blood pressure going up, amen. I told Brother Scott, I said, it's a shame and a disgrace that people profess to, and I was pointing at the crowd. I said, it's a shame and a disgrace that church-going, supposedly Jesus-loving people, my friend, can sit out there and be entertained with that God-hating music. Amen, glory to God. You said there ain't nothing wrong with rock and roll. You need to notice what the term is. The very term rock and roll is the term that identifies fornication. Say amen right there. I don't know what this church will do after I'm dead, and I don't know what it'll do after I'm gone. And dead and gone might not be two of the same thing, but While I'm here, that garbage will never be here. You say, well, who do you think you are? I tell you who I am. I'm a little toe-headed boy that God sought out in January 20th, 1981 in the hills of North Carolina and put him under Holy Ghost conviction and saved him by God's amazing grace and put the call of God to preach on his life and sent him to Rogersville, Tennessee to preach the Word of God. That's who I am. Amen. I'm not a hireling. I'm not up for sale. And I'll be dog if we're going to cater to the ways of the wicked to build a church. If preaching won't do it, shut her down. That's what I say. The old time way is so out of date, you can't build a church on it. Shut it down. Brother James, you getting this on tape? I got a text this week from a local pastor that's already got our tapes from last Sunday. They said, preacher, we're going to pass them out to our church. I didn't tell him, but I told somebody. I said, well, he must be ready to leave. I said, we're going to make tapes, going to pass them out to our church. We're going to play it on the radio. Somebody likes it. Somebody realize it's needed. I don't get no extra points for preaching like this. Are you listening? I didn't get this message out of a book. God gave it to me. God birthed it in my soul. And I believe it's very evident. Amen. God's people listening at RBT. I can't make calls for other churches, but I can make a call for this one. And I hope I've got your backing. This church is not going to be devoted to praising the wicked. This church is going to be devoted to praising the Lord. I know it's not popular, and I know that it could mean persecution for me in the future. I know that. But I can't help it. I'm so sick of the way our country's going, and I'm sick of the fact that our churches are following the pattern of the world instead of the world being the standard. The church being the standard. The world's the standard, and the church is adapted to their standard. So I ain't heard nothing like that. They commended her. They praised her. Wow, look at that. And watch this. This is them praising her made Pharaoh want her. Really? That song? Man, I'm going to buy the tape. They're coming to town? They're going to be at the Coliseum? I'm going. Others praising the wicked in front of you will stir an appetite, will stir a desire in you to want it. Amen. Amen. That's why God's people ought to be, my friend, committed to praising the Lord. Amen. In looks as well as in your lips, praising the Lord. Why? It'll cause people to want to know Him. Jesus changed your life. Jesus did that for you. I want Him. Jesus gives you peace in a troubled world. Jesus gives you joy unspeakable and full of glory. I want Him. Well, amen. I might as well deal with it since we're on it. Y'all ready? This is stout right here. I mean, this is stout. And I'm still talking about the word praise. So we not only see basically what it means in that first mention. I'm talking about passion. There's a passion involved. Listen to this. And I'm not going to read all the study that I did on that. But I will basically tell you this. That this Hebrew word praise comes from the word that is translated four times, hallelujah. Now, wait a minute. You say, preacher, every time that I know of the word hallelujah is used in the Bible, it is God's people saying that to God. Four times. Or listen. Four times it said, it's translated, praise the Lord. And that little J-A-H on the end of hallelujah is the short word for, it's the shortened form for Jehovah. It is the Jehovah, the proper name for the one true God, translated 48 times as capital L, capital O, capital R, and capital D. You say, preacher, what are you talking about? I'm simply saying this word praise of the wicked is the same word used to praise God. Hallelujah. Praise Jehovah. And here's what ought to fire us all up, is that all of us have the potential of taking the praise and the boast and the brag and the commendation and the shining for and the shining on of God that God's deserving of, and devote that to this stinking world. Doesn't that make you sick? That your life? Listen, I'm not talking about heathens here. I'm talking about people that once embraced the law. They that forsake the law, they used to embrace it. They held it true, lived by it. But they turned from it, departed from it, become a partner with the wicked, and then they begin to shine for them and shine on them, begin to boast of them, begin to brag on them, begin to advertise for them, begin to do like the princes of Pharaoh did Sarah. They begin to devote attention to her. Say amen right there. People don't, all they're interested in a lot of times is trends and fashions. They don't see where it come from. And I could deal with things right there, several things that come from the prisons of California that are in our, right around here. Boys walking around with their britches plumb down on their thighs, their belts way down here, showing their briefs. Hey, I want to tell you, that was hatched out of sodomy in the prisons of California. Oh, but it's cool. It's the thing. Hey, I want to tell you what God's people are not interested in. What's cool and the thing. We're interested in who's Christ and praising Him and giving Him glory and giving Him honor. Amen. Amen. I challenge you. Listen, I challenge you. I'll be glad to talk with you. I'll be glad to sit right down and we'll go more in detail if you think I'm out of the book. If I'm out of the book, you have every right to not like it. You have every right, my friend, to reject it. If I'm out of the book, anytime about any subject, if I'm ever out of the book, you have a right to cut it off and say, that's not so. You have the right. Give me the book test. But if I'm in the book, you are accountable to God. God has sent you light. God has sent you the message. And my friend, you will stand before God as I will one day, my friend, and give an account for the truth that has been given me and how I lived accordingly. Amen. I preach the truth because I want you to live it. But also I preach the truth because God is setting a standard of accountability that one day you will be judged by. Well, amen. All right, we might as well let's deal with this one. I've been preaching 53 minutes. I know some of you think it's a lot longer than that. That's the first mention. Let's deal with this of that. Not only does it involve a passion, involves a passion, but it also involves a path. And I probably won't deal with just one on this. There's a path, and I've already hit some of the things of how you praise the wicked, what paths you travel to praise the wicked. But I want to give you this one. And this one's big. Are y'all still listening? I know it's tough. I know you don't like preaching like this. I don't like to preach like this. But it's coming and here it is and we're going to do something with it. But watch this right here. Man, this is big right here. How do we praise? What is the path of praising the wicked? The first one is, listen, we praise the wicked with admiration. When they looked at Sarah and praised her, they were admiring her. How many, listen, come on now. Come on, listen. Does it not bother us, church folk? Does it not bother us that the majority of heroes of our youth are wicked people? If I'm out in left field and I'm snapped and gone crazy, you answer that one for me. Why is it that my friend, listen, that our young people raised in our churches have very few godly heroes? They're all wicked people. Movie stars, country music stars, rock stars, wrestling stars, or whatever other kind of stars. That's the mentality. Brother Mark talked about a university or a college? A college. Started out to be a Christian college. And they had a contest, people writing on excellence. And what were some of their names? It was Michael Jackson and Gandhi and Muhammad Ali and all of who? Elvis. Wrote about them as personified examples of excellence. Not one time with Jesus up there. Not once. That, friend, you said that's the world. That's the same mentality that's in our churches. Not in everybody, but it's in our churches. Young people today in our churches can give you details and stats on sports figures and ball teams and this and that and the other, but they couldn't tell you the last time they memorized a verse of Scripture. Couldn't name the 12 apostles, couldn't name the 66 books of the Bible. Are you listening? I'm talking about, friend, you praise them with admiration. When you admire them and you've got that standing awe attitude towards a song they sing or some look that they have or some attire they portray or whatever, that's admiration of the wicked and you are praising them. I'm going to give you this and I'm done. I'm not done, but I'm going to quit. The same word is used, listen, oh Lord, help us, Jesus. When it said there about the princes of Pharaoh, when they saw her, they commended her. They didn't commend her till they saw her. Is everybody listening? That word saw is the same word used in Genesis 3 and 6 when it talked about Eve. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. You know what happened right there? The look influenced her action. The princes of Pharaoh saw Sarah, and they began to praise her. When Eve saw the forbidden tree fruit, she saw it. And what she saw motivated her to action. Our young people today, many of them, not just young people, sad to say, oh, how sad to say, a lot of parents are setting an example to their children based on what they see and how they want to look. Preach, I don't want to dress the way you preach. That'll make me look old-fashioned. Exactly. It'll take me out of the mainstream of immodesty. Exactly. Amen. I'm not nervous, are you? Her look influenced her action. Her look, what she looked at, and how she lived became inseparable. She had a look of admiration. It led to adaptation. She adapted to what she admired. She adapted to what she admired. What you admire, you will adapt to. She forsook the law of God. Don't eat it. She forsook the law. There was a parting. And then there was a partnering. She went, and when she partook of the tree, listen, what the tree was got in her. She became what the tree was. The tree was forbidden because it was sin. She partook of it. That fruit got in her. She became a sinner. When you partake, when you look, there's an admiration of wickedness and sin. When there's admiration, it will lead to adaptation. And my friend, what they are, you will become. Not only will you, the path of admiration, but there's the path of identification. You praise them by being like them. You want to identify with them. And then there's the praise of that comes through participation. Let's all stand to our feet. Heavenly Father, we come in Jesus' name to the throne of grace. And dear Lord, I know without any question, without any doubt in my mind and heart, that Lord, You birthed this message in my soul, in my heart. And I pray that You'll help our church. Lord, help me. Lord, help us, dear God, individually, that we will not be as those that forsake the law and praise the wicked. Lord, help us to be those that keep the law, and the result is that we will contend with the wicked. Lord, we all here today believe, and we do believe, and we do practice separation. Everyone in this building practices separation. It's either a separation from You and unto the world, or it's a separation from the world unto You. Lord, I pray that You'll speak to our hearts with this message on praising the wicked. I do not want to live or to conduct myself or dress in any form or fashion that will bring credit, that will bring attention, that will bring boast and bragging, that'll shine for the wicked. I do not. I do not. I want to do the opposite. I want to do so to bring praise and honor to my Savior, You, Lord, the worthy one. I want to shine for You. I want to shine on You. I want to point people's attention to You. I want people to think a lot about You because of what I say and how I live. God, I pray that You'll help us to commend You in the midst of a sick and a sinful world. Oh, help us to be quick to point You out. The all-knowing, the all-true, sovereign, sweet Savior of glory. Lord, work in our young people that they'll make a deliberate choice to do right. Live in a way that honors Jesus. Conduct themselves, clothe themselves, behave themselves in a way that will not attract attention to their flesh, but will attract attention to Jesus. And Father, I pray the message You've sent will find lodging in our soul and will find fruit, produce fruit in our life. Have Your will in Your way. Lord, may we not be guilty of furthering the cause of the wicked, but help us to be guilty of furthering the cause of Jesus. A cause that is quickly diminishing and falling apart for a lack of preaching, for a lack of practicing the principles of the Scripture. Help us to fall afresh and anew in love with the Word of God. Oh, help us today, Lord, for those that have gotten slack concerning the Scripture. Lord, may they find themselves in an old-fashioned altar and say, God, forgive me. Forgive me, Lord, for going days without reading the Word of God and feeding upon the Scripture. Forgive me, Lord, for not meditating upon the Word of God and adapting its principles into my life. Forgive me, Lord. Forgive me, Lord, for my lack of priority of Your Word. Forgive me, Jesus. Before I could ever praise the wicked, Lord, I've got to forsake the Word. Lord, please help us, our God, this day. Deal with every man, woman, boys and girls, every visitor and every church member about our relationship to the Word of God. The relationship to the Word of God will determine our relationship to the wicked. As revealed in this text verse, speak to us, Lord. Speak to us in Jesus' name.
God bless you. Thank you for visiting Rogersville Baptist Temple's website and for listening to this message preached at Rogersville Baptist Temple.